Good morning, folks. We'll start our service this morning by turning to hymn number 138. 100.
Heart now, the heavenly anthem's crowned on all music but its own. And you know, the sun's shining outside, and let the sun be shining in our heart. And we're living today to praise the Lord and to thank the Lord. And thank God today we're saved. And let us really lift our hearts and sing this hymn unto the Lord. 138.
Thank you.
Amen. Isn't it wonderful to come to the house of the Lord on this His day and be able to set all the things that have been our minds throughout this week and maybe what we're thinking of the week ahead and His will, and yet to lift our hearts on the Lord's day and to give praise unto Him who have loved us and have washed us and saved us with His own blood. And thank God there's coming a day, a wonderful day, when we will crown Him and we will see Him crowned and we will be at His presence and in His presence for all and throughout all of eternity. Let's come to the Lord and let's seek the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and our heavenly Father, as we draw nigh into Your presence through that name that is high and far above every other name, that of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank Thee, Lord, this day for all that our Savior means to us who are saved and washed in Your precious blood. We thank You, Lord, for the day that when this poor man cried, the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his fears. Lord, Thou hast lifted us out of a horrible pit. Thou hast set our feet upon a rock. Thou hast established our goings. Thou hast put a new song, Lord, in our heart and in our mouth, to sing praises unto Thee, the Lord our God. And Lord, as we come before Thee this day, Lord, we want to lift up our hearts and say to Thee, thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the day that You set us gloriously and wonderfully free. And Lord, we rejoice today for the wonder-working power that is in the blood. For Lord, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, what can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, not only do we thank Thee for all that You accomplished for us at the cross, but Lord, how we thank Thee for the victory You have given us over the grave. Lord, we thank You, Lord, we can say this morning, thanks be to God which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, not only over our sin and the penalty of our sin and the judgment of our sin, but Lord, You have given us victory over death, that when He shall appear, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which remain shall be caught up in the air forever to be with the Lord. We thank Thee, O God, there's coming a crowning day, a wonderful day when we, Lord, will stand before Him and we will sing, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Lord, cover this meeting with the blood. Lord, shut us in with Thyself. We thank Thee for every home and for every head that is bowed and represented in this service today. And Lord, we pray for each one that Thou will come and meet us all at the point of our need. Lord, there are those here and their hearts are heavy. There are those here, Lord, whose bodies are wounded with illness and with sickness. Lord, there are those here who are cold at heart and backslidden. And aye, there are those even amongst us who are still not saved. Lord, whatever the need is, Lord, come and meet that need, we cry. Lord, touch Thy people. Lord, revive Thy people. Stir and awake Thy people, Lord. Lord, as we've sang today, awake my soul and rise. Come away and praise the Lord for all that He hath done. Lord, restore the backslider. Save the lost. Edify and build up Thy people. And Lord, lead us out after Thyself. Remember those in hospital, those, Lord, who mourn today. Lord, remember those who need a touch from Thee. Draw so graciously near. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt perfect that which doth concern them. Lord, remember our Lamb today. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon our land and upon our province. Lord, how we see it today, turning its back on God. Time for pleasure, time for business. But for Jesus, King of glory, Lord, there doesn't seem to be that time today to give to the Saviour. Lord, have mercy upon us. Turn our wee land and our nation again to Thee. Come, Lord, and visit us even this day. Visit us, Lord, with revival. For where is our hope of survival? Lost in Thy life-giving breath. Revive Thy church. Revive Thy people. Bless our ministers wherever they're preaching today. Lord, bless the word of God as it will go forth in this house and throughout every faithful house throughout our land. Lord, let there be signs to follow the preaching of the word of God. Shut us in with Thyself. Take control of this service and pour out Thy Spirit upon us. For we ask it all in our Savior's name. Amen. If you turn again, please, in your hymn number, in your hymn book to 411. For those that want to use the hymn book, I see now it comes up on the screen. 411 for those that are using the hymn book. And a great hymn it is too, and it should challenge your hearts on this Lord's Day morning. I want, dear Lord, a heart that is true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like Thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow. On me, dear Lord, a heart like this, bestow. How's your heart today? Ask that question, Lord. Give me a heart that is pure and clean. Stand and sing 411. Amen. Turn, please, in the Word of God, if you can, to John chapter 1, a well familiar passage. And we want to break in to this chapter at verse 29. John chapter 1, and breaking into the chapter at verse 29. John chapter 1 and verse 29. Let us hear the word of the Lord. The next day, John, seeing Jesus coming unto him, and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Wherefore, am I come baptizing with water? And John bore record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, But he sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bore record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples and looked upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? And he brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, that, and shall be called Cephas, which is, being interpreted, a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, findeth Philip, and said unto him, follow me. Amen. We know that the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. We'll ask our brother now to come and to bring the necessary announcements to us. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our morning service. And if you are visiting with us or joining in online, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. We welcome as our preacher this morning, Mr. Stephen Castles from our Porta Down congregation, and we pray that the Lord will bless our brother in the preaching of the word this morning. Please remember the evening gospel service at 6:30 p.m., preceded by a time of prayer in the church hall at 6 p.m., and our brother Stephen will be back again to preach the word. The announcements for the incoming week: tomorrow, Monday the 29th, the parent and toddler group at 10 a.m. And please note there will be no parent and toddler meeting on the 6th of May due to the bank holiday. Please remember the special seasons of prayer commencing tomorrow evening and Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. to approximately 9 p.m., continuing with our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. And we encourage all of God's people to come along to these seasons of prayer. And we ask, as we ask the Lord for his blessing on the forthcoming mission in Tynan and the Children's Holiday Bible Clubs and the other outreaches planned during the summer season. Reverend McMillan will be here to speak at all of those meetings. Just a reminder to the session members that next Friday, the Presby meeting will be next Friday, the 3rd of May, in the Dungannon Church at 8 p.m. Next Sunday, the 5th of May, 10:45, Sunday School and Bible Class, 11:30, the morning service, and 6:30, the evening service. Preacher at both services will be the Reverend McMillan. There will be communion after the morning service. Please remember the seasons of prayer before both of these meetings. The next day outreach planned will be for Tuesday, the 7th of May, meeting at the church at 7:30 p.m. And if you haven't taken part in the outreach before, we will give you an invitation to come along and join with us, please. That's all the announcements. Thank you.
Well, thank our brother for the warm welcome. It's lovely to be back again here with you in Armagh. I bring you greetings from my own church in Porta Down Free Presbyterian Church. And I do trust that the Lord will bless us today as we gather around his precious word. Again, I would encourage you to come back again this evening to join with us in the gospel, and encourage and pray and bring others with you and get them on endeavor in these days in which we live to get the unsaved in under the sound of the word of God. And as we will look today at one who went and found his own brother, and he brought him to where the Lord Jesus was. I would encourage you, and I would certainly challenge you, even through the Word of God, that you would find those in your own family who are not saved and endeavor to get them in under the sound of the Word of God. We're going to stand and sing another hymn. It's hymn number 500. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All his joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever through eternal years the same. And what a wonderful hymn. And let us stand and sing this hymn unto the Lord. 500. If you have your Bible again, I could ask you please to turn to that passage that we read together from John's Gospel, chapter 1. And if you have it opened up, let us then come and let us seek the Lord in prayer. And if you're here today, why not ask the Lord to speak to your heart? I was at a little meeting on Friday night speaking to a group of young people, And we never left that meeting until almost midnight. We preached the word. They sat on, they sang. And then they prayed and they sang and they prayed. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, we need revival. We need revival. And my heart was really touched hearing those young people, and just in an ordinary wee meeting together, praying and seeking for God to move, for God to save. If you're here today, and you ask the Lord, speak to my heart, Lord. Speak to me. Let us come to the Lord. Lord, we thank thee for your word and for what it means to each one of us. And now, Lord, we come to the most important part of any meeting. Lord, to the preaching of God's word. And Lord, there's a great responsibility not only upon the preacher, but Lord, upon the hearer. Lord, thy word teaches us, he that have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. And Lord, I pray today that thou will grant to us the help and the power of the Holy Ghost. Help me, Lord, to bring forth thy word with faithfulness. Lord, not to preach it from my head, but Lord, to preach it from my heart. And O God, for those that would hear thy word, that Lord, we would not just be hearers of the word of God, but Lord, that we would be doers. That O God, that we would put thy word into practice in our lives. That we would so much live it out, Lord, that others would take note and see that we have been to Jesus. Lord, help this preacher, for all I am is the clay. But Lord, thou art the potter. Fill this vessel with thy power and with thy spirit. For we pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking earlier, a week ago about this message, the Lord pressed this matter and the verse upon my heart that I want to speak with you today. I want to speak to you on the life of Andrew. On the life of Andrew. And I know we can speak on many different characters today in the Bible. We can speak on the life of Paul and what a great instrument he was in the hand of the Lord. One who was a church wrecker, and how the Lord took him, the one who persecuted the Christian church, and the Lord saved him and transformed him and made him to be a great preacher and evangelist of the Word of God. We can look at the life of Peter, a disciple of the Lord, Andrew's brother, and we can look at what Peter was like and who he was. He was the outspoken of the disciples. He was the one who always took the lead. We can look at Timothy, Titus, Jude. We can look at many of the great characters in the Word of God that come to remind. But how often do we miss and to look at the life of Andrew? Because I feel today, in all of our churches throughout the land, all our churches today, we need an Andrew. Now, I don't know if there's an Andrew in the meeting today. But if there is, well, God bless you, because the word Andrew, it means manly. That's what Andrew means, to be manly. But it means something else. It means a lot more. Because when we come to look at the life and character of Andrew, Andrew was that one who quietly worked away in the background. No fuss, nothing, not drawing the attention to himself. All Andrew was interested in was one thing, getting souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there an Andrew here? Is there an Andrew in this meeting? One who quietly works away in the background, doing those things that others make no heed to, yet that Andrew works away quietly, faithfully, with one determination and desire to get souls to Jesus Christ. You see, that's why our churches today, we need an Andrew. The churches have their Peters, those who always are outspoken, those who are always taking the lead. Yes, the churches have their Thomases, those who doubt and say, well, maybe he might, maybe he won't, but not Andrew. Andrew saw to the need, as we'll see in a little moment or two. And Andrew's vision and Andrew's determination was this one thing: let's get them to the Savior. Let's get them to Christ. You see, what is it that is so unique about Andrew is this: that yes, Andrew always walked and followed in the shadow of his brother Peter. Every time you read scripture and you come to the word of God, and whenever they're referring to Andrew, it says Simon Peter's brother. And I wonder, is there someone here today in the church, and that's your type of life? You always walk in the shadow of someone else. Maybe even in your family, they always talk about your elder brother or your little brother or your older sister, and you're the one that always seems to be forgot about. But you're there. You're there. You see, Andrew, he always walked in the shadow of his brother Peter. But Andrew didn't mind. Andrew didn't mind that Peter would take all of the publicity and all of it went with it. Andrew didn't mind that at all, because Andrew was a background worker. He was somebody who was happy just to work away in the Lord's work in the background, making no fuss, drawing no attention, but having this one great determination to see men and women, aye, and children, brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there an Andrew here today? There are five things that I want to bring out about Andrew this morning. And the first thing, when we come to this passage that we read together from the Word of God, is this. We see, first of all, Andrew's encounter with Jesus Christ. Because if you're going to be a faithful soul winner for the Savior, then there has to be a time in your life and in my life when you and I came face to face with the Savior, when we had that encounter with the Lord, that our lives would never be the same. And Andrew had that encounter. Because Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist, and as Andrew sat under the ministry of John the Baptist, John taught Andrew concerning the things of Christ. Andrew had a great spiritual upbringing. He had a great spiritual teacher in the things of God. And one day, as John was teaching the things of Christ, John says, "Behold the Lamb of God." What a ministry Andrew sat under. What great teaching Andrew received from the mouth of John the Baptist. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, there was never a man or a preacher like John the Baptist. And it's good to see young people tonight, or this afternoon, sitting in the house of God, sitting under the Word of God, being taught the Word of God, being taught the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I too have been blessed with a great spiritual upbringing. We're blessed in this land of ours in which we live. Yes, they call our little province the land of the saints. Aye, the land of many great spiritual giants who the Lord has raised up to be great preachers of the Word of God. And thank God for many of us, we have sat under their ministry and under their teaching of the Word of God. And as Andrew sat under the ministry of John the Baptist, being taught concerning the things of Christ, how John said, "There come one whose shoe latches that I am unworthy even to unloosen." And the day that John is ministering and John sees the Savior, John points him and he says, "Here he is, behold the Lamb of God." Andrew, for the first time, sight is giving way to faith. Or faith is giving way to sight. All that he has been taught. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And now Andrew has seen him for himself. And Andrew has been taken up. And Andrew is beginning to behold the Lamb of God. Ladies and gentlemen, young person, have you had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ? Has there been a time in your life Were you under the sound and the ministry and the teaching of God's word? And maybe you're sitting in this house this morning and God is speaking to your heart and the Holy Spirit is revealing to you again concerning the things of Christ and concerning the matter of your soul. I would say like John today, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that day as John stood there, as Andrew stood and admired and looked upon the Lamb of God, upon the one who John said would come to be the deliverer for Israel, the one who would come to be the Savior of the world, the one who would go to the cross to shed his precious blood, the one who would die on the center cross. And John said, I bear record, this is the Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the responsibility of every soul winner for Jesus Christ. Not to point them to the church or to man, but to point them to the Lamb of God. And that's my responsibility this morning, young and old. With the fear in my heart that you would die without the Savior and be lost for all eternity, is to point you to the only one who can save your soul. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Have you had that encounter with the Savior? Because you see, that day when Andrew came face to face with Christ, Christ asked him this question, whom seekest ye? Whom seekest ye? And there are many today, and they love to follow man. And they love to follow religion. And they love to follow many things. And is it any wonder Jesus goes right to the heart, right to the point. And he says, Andrew, whom do you seek? What are you seeking after, Andrew? And Andrew gives him that great answer, isn't it? Here's a seeking heart. Here's a seeking man wanting to find the Savior just like Zacchaeus. Andrew says in verse 38, he says, and then said he unto him, Rabbi, being interpreted, Master, that's whom I seek. I'm seeking the living Christ. I'm seeking the one who can save me and deliver me from all my sin. What does the Bible say? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. My dear friend, let me ask you this question again. Why are you in this house this morning? What is your purpose to be here this morning? Is it to seek the Lord? Are you saying, Stephen, I'm tired of my sinful way? I'm tired of my sinful life. I'm tired of just going through the formality. Sure, there's more to my Christian life than this. I want to live more for the Lord. I want to be on fire for the Lord. I want to enjoy the fullness of my salvation. I seek the Lord today. And you see, when Andrew had that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, his life would never be the same. From this moment, my dear friend, the moment Andrew beheld the Lamb of God and he said, whom seekest thee? We seek thee, Master. Andrew's life would never be the same again. And I tell you, sinner friend, the moment you seek the Savior with all your heart, and the moment you give your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, I can assure you, your life will never be the same. Ah, Lord, I've tried the boat and cisterns, but ah, Lord, the waters have failed. They mock me as I stoop to wail. Why? Because now there's none but Christ can satisfy. You see, when the Lord saved this old sinner in 1994, he broke the power of the bottle of drink, and thank God I never went back to it ever since. And you see, when God changed Andrew's life, his life would never be the same. For all that mattered to Andrew was this, Jesus only. Jesus only. I asked you this morning, with Andrew's encounter with Christ. Whom seekest ye? Have ye had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus? Is your desire to find him and to live for him and to serve him? Because you see, secondly, not only was there Andrew's encounter with the Savior, there was Andrew's following with the Savior. And you see, the key verse to this is all found in verse 37 and also in verse 40. Look at what it says. And the two disciples, us Andrew and the other disciple, heard him speak. And it says, and they followed who? Jesus. You see it? Don't miss that. He didn't follow John anymore, did he? He didn't follow religion or Judaism. He didn't follow man. He followed Jesus. And sadly, in our wee country today, there are many who are following man. And they're not following the Savior. Because whenever Andrew had this wonderful encounter, when Andrew beheld and behold the Lamb of God, the one who could take away his sin, the one who could set him gloriously and wonderfully free, Andrew is so taken up with the Savior, and all he can see is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Andrew has a desire in his heart now to follow the Savior. We sing the words, but do we just sing them without any meaning? In our hymn book 499, we'll sing it at the end of this service. But what does it say? I hear my Savior calling. Do you hear him calling? Or has the world deafened your ears to the call of the Savior? Has your in business and your employment and your family and your busy lifestyle, has it shunned out, has it dulled out the sound of the voice of the Savior? I hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take my cross and follow me. I will go with him. Will you go with him? Andrew was a fisherman by trade. And you go back to Matthew 4. And the next day, Jesus seeing Andrew and Peter, he says, follow me. And it says immediately, straightway, they left their occupation. They left their fishing nets. And they followed the Lord to become fishers of men. I will go with him through the garden. Will you go through the garden? I will go with him through the judgment. I will go with him, it says. I will go with him all the way. Will you? You see, Andrew had a desire. Because of that encounter with Jesus Christ, if any man be in Christ, the Bible says, he's a new creature. Old things, now get that word, old things are passed away. And behold, all things or become you. You see, Andrew has a new purpose in life now. Andrew has a new desire in life. Andrew has one desire and one ambition, is to follow the Savior wherever he may lead me. It'll cost you. And there are not many. There are not many who are willing to pay the price and to leave their all and follow Jesus. But Andrew was. Andrew was willing to follow the Savior. Who are you following? What are you following? Are you following him? Or are you still following man and this world's ambitions? I always drew this and I thought of it this morning especially. And it's lovely to get up and especially when you live out in the countryside, it's a blessing to have it. And to be able to walk out in the fields and just to thank the Lord you're alive today. To thank the Lord for your health and strength and today he saved you. But I'll never forget that year in 1996, 2 years after I was saved, I came out of a youth meeting. There was actually a youth rally. And all that week, I heard them talking about surrendering your life to Christ. And I remember walking through the fields of my father's farm and saying, but Lord, is there more to my Christian life? Lord, you saved me 2 years ago. I give my heart and life to thee. But Lord, these men are teaching about full surrender. What does it mean? What does it mean, Lord? Is there more to this? And I got to a little bridge just below, right, just through the moss, and I came to a little bridge. And I just sat down at the bridge, and I just said, Lord, if there's more to this, then Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated to thee. Who are you following? What are you following? You see, Andrew's ambition was this, to leave us all. To leave us all. And to follow Christ. Now you're beginning to see why our churches need Andrews, aren't you? You see, he had a real encounter with Jesus Christ. His life was never going to be the same. And neither would his walk be the same again. Because he was going to follow the Savior. The third thing about Andrew's life was not only his encounter, not only his following, but there was Andrew's fellowship. And young person, I can't stress this to you more importantly. Christian fellowship is everything. It's everything. And you get yourself into good Christian fellowship and good Christian company, but main above all, you get yourself into the right fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it says there, whenever in verse 39, it says, and he said unto him, come and see. Andrew asked, where does thy abode? And the Lord says to him, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode. And that word abode, it means the fellowship. And let me ask you the question, where were you fellowshipping last night? Or where were you fellowshipping on a Friday night? Or where were you fellowshipping on a Wednesday night or whenever your midweek prayer meeting's on? Where were you fellowshipping then? At the TV box or the computer box or out at some worldly entertainment? Not Andrew. Andrew says, Lord, where do you abode? And the Lord says to him, come, Andrew, and see. Come. And it says he went and he came. And it says it was about the 10th hour. Andrew didn't want to leave him. Andrew didn't want to go away. Andrew wanted to learn more about the Savior. Andrew wanted to fellowship upon the Lord. Let us ask the question, how much do we read our Bibles? How much do we spend in time alone with God? What is our quiet time, our fellowship with the Lord? What is it like? How much time do we spend alone with God in prayer? How much time do we spend around the Word of God? How much time do we spend alone with the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, that's the key. And that's the secret and the success to every soul winner. It's the time they spend alone with the Savior. The more you spend with Him, and the more time you give to Him, then the more you become like Him. And you see, that's what Andrew wanted. He wanted to be like the Savior. He wanted to be with the Savior. Andrew wanted to follow the Lord all the days of his life. Ladies and gentlemen, how is our relationship with the Savior today? Child of God, has it grown cold? Child of God, has it elapsed? I'm so busy, I just cannot get the time squeezed in. I used to be at the prayer meeting, I used to have my quiet times, and I used to spend times alone with the Lord, and now I hardly do that. Something wrong, isn't there? Andrew says, Lord, where do you abode, Lord? Where are you? And Jesus says, come and see. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, John teaching his disciples, and I often would go to this wee verse, I'd often have taught it many times, but in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, this is what it says. And that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And how is that fellowship? And truly our fellowship is with who? The Father. And his Son, Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I love going to my prayer meeting. I love being in the prayer meetings of my church. I love being in the prayer meetings with God's people. But I have to honestly say this today, and maybe there are those who will agree with me. My best times is when I'm alone with the Lord. Those are my best times. And I can't explain to you what that fellowship is like. Just to be alone with the Savior. I can tell him everything. I can share everything to him. And when I open up his word and I read his word, thank God he speaks to my heart. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. You see, there was Andrew's encounter, his saving faith that would change his life forever. His life would never be the same. There was Andrew's following Christ. There was Andrew's fellowship with Christ. But there was Andrew's witness for Christ. You see, when you've got it, you've got it. You don't lose it. And you see, when you've got it in your heart and it burns in your heart and the Lord's there and the Lord is driving you on and he's setting you, you can't hide it. You have to share it. You have to tell it to someone, don't you? You can't hide the love of Christ. Because when it's in your heart, it comes out. It comes out red and it comes out bright. Everyone can see it, that you love the Lord, that the Lord is with that person, that the Lord is blessing them. And such is the joy of the Lord that you just have to tell it. And when Andrew found the Savior, what did he do? After that fellowship meeting, that time with Christ, Andrew ran as quick as he could, and he ran home. And he finds his own brother, Peter, first. And he says, Peter! Peter! We have found the Messiah, which is interpreted the Christ. You see, Andrew wanted Peter to know the Savior. Andrew wanted Peter to know the joy of the Lord. Andrew wanted Peter to come to Christ as well. And Andrew wasn't going to hide it back from his brother. No, Andrew was determined. Peter, where are you? Come and see him. My friend, are you going to go home and ring your father and say, Daddy, listen, I found the Savior, Daddy. Come and see him. Mommy, I found the Lord. Come and see the Lord, Mommy. My brother, go to your brother and tell him he's the best thing. Come and find, come and see the Lord. You see, Peter's termination was to get Andrew's determination was to get Peter to the Savior. Peter, we found him. We sought long, we sought hard, but Peter, we found him at last. Come and see him. In verse 42 it says, and he brought him. Isn't that beautiful? I'll never forget that July Sunday afternoon. I came home from a bomb parade and I was in an absolute mess that Saturday night. They bundled me into the car. My cousin said to me that Saturday evening when he dropped me back to the house, he said, Stephen, you be ready for 6:30 tomorrow evening. And I says, where are we going? He says, you're coming with me to Bethlehem. And 6:30 he was there. And by 7:15 I was sitting in Bethany Free Presbyterian Church hearing the word of God. He brought me to where the Savior was. And Jesus did the rest. And that's what Andrew did. He brought him to the meeting. He brought him to the place where Jesus was, and Jesus did the rest. See these empty seats? Why? He findeth his own brother first, and he brought him. He brought him to the meeting. And Jesus did the rest. Andrew's encounter, Andrew's following, Andrew's fellowship, Andrew's witness, but lastly, and finally, Andrew's ministry. What a ministry. It started in his own home first. And if you can't witness to your own, then there's no point in going out through your door. It starts at home, the hardest place. He found his own brother. His ministry was first at home. Secondly, in John chapter 6, he was doing the work for the Lord and children's work because he was there with the Lord. And he said, Lord, there's a lad here. There's a lad. And what did he do with the lad? He brought the lad to Jesus with a little lunchbox. And the Lord took the little lunchbox and the Lord fed the 5,000. He was involved with the children's work. And he was bringing the children to the Savior. And then finally in John 12, where was he? He was in the mission field. He was in the mission field. What doing? Bringing the Greeks. He was bringing the Greeks to the Savior. You see, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, no fuss, not looking all the limelight, not looking any pats on the back or applause, no. All Andrew was interested in doing was getting souls to Christ. Is the Lord speaking to you? Is the Lord going to revive your Christian life and say, Lord, I'm tired, just like me, that day down the field, Lord, is there more? What does this mean? I surrender my all. And it's not until your all is laid on the altar that God will bring you into heights that you never thought you would ever go to. Are you going to follow him today? Are you going to leave your all and follow him? Look at these empty seats. Are you going to say, Lord, help me to find someone? Help me to bring someone. Lord, I'm going to get involved in the children's missions, the children's work. Lord, is there missionary work? Lord, is there something for me to do? Why not be an Andrew today? Follow the Lord. and live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stand and sing in closing 499, that hymn we sang or quoted. We'll sing it today. And if the Lord is here speaking to you, may the Lord challenge your heart. And if I can be any help, then I'll be here for a while. Come and speak to us. But think of the words, ladies and gentlemen, especially young people too, the best time, and I could not stress it anymore, the best time to give your life is to the Lord when you're young. You know, I'm 48 now, and I'm not ashamed to admit that, I'm 48. But I had 25 wonderful years leading the youth fellowship in Bethany, 25 wonderful years. It was all after that encounter that day when I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm surrendering my life to thee. 6 months later, one of the elders approached us and said, Stephen, would you take up the work in the youth fellowship of Bethany? 25 years. Is there a young person here? The Lord's speaking to you. It's time to live your life for the Lord. I hear your voice, Lord, and I'm going to follow thee. Let's stand and sing as a close this wonderful hymn, 499. Lord, we have sang this hymn together. And Lord, may it not be just an uttering of words from our lips, but Lord, may it be coming from our heart, that where he may lead me, I will go. Lord, if there's a young person in this meeting tonight, today, who you're singling out, even for full-time service, then, Lord, you will give them grace, and you will go with them. Lord, if there are those who are going through the trials of life and the tribulations of life and the disappointments of life, then, Lord, you will go with us. For those who are in the garden, Lord, you will be able to go with us. And now as we separate and go each one to our homes, Lord, take us to our homes in safety. Bring us back again in thy will and save the lost amongst us. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.